Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to episode 2 of the day and episode 2 of the week, PGA Championship week. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about the model today for the tournament, which was out on Golf News Net on Sunday evening, Monday morning. I can't remember. I think I auto-published it to Monday morning. I had a little road trip to handle yesterday. Went to the LPGA's media day for the ChopRite LPGA Classic, so I was playing golf. Wanted to make sure I had this out there for you guys for the model. So the model is for our members at golfnewsnet.com. It is $40 a year to be a member. You pay $10 for just this week if you want. I don't know why you would do that, but you can. But you can sign up at golfnewsnet.com. We do this modeling for every single PGA Tour event. What, for those of you who are new to this, because there are a lot of folks who are casual bettors who pay attention to the majors, the rubric or model, whatever you want, I don't like calling it a model because it's a statistical model. It's not like a predictive model. Like, who's going to win the tournament based on 20,000 simulations? It's a statistical ranking based on what I have come to realize is the most important criteria for me in setting who I think is going to win for the week. And I take a long-term view on golf performance. I do not like looking specifically at who's the hot hand recently. Sometimes that works, right? Scottie Scheffler won the Masters. He was clearly the best player in the world at the time. Just so happened he was also the best player on the planet at the time for the last couple of years. No wonder he won. When John Rahm won the Masters, he was the best player on the planet at the time, and he was also the best player recently at the time. Those things happen. However, Brian Harman won. He was a hot hand. That happened. Sometimes you get a longer-term form increase in a guy, and they wind up winning. I tend to think about longer-term form. So I'm looking at 1 and 2 year windows, and I don't do key statistic type stuff. I don't like, oh, here are key stats for the week. You know, birdies from on longer par fours and, you know, putting average, like all kinds of random stuff. Like, that is not how golf works. You are the sum of your parts in golf, and everybody's sum comes together differently. Colin Morikawa does not gain a ton of strokes off the tee, but he's a phenomenal iron player when he plays well, and he putts well enough when he putts well enough to contend to major championships. That if a statistical model mattered and looking at strokes gained off the tee, he'd be thrown out with the bathwater. But that's clearly not the case. Again, if putting mattered a ton, you would look at Denny McCarthy every week and go, man, how's this guy not win more often? But it's more than that. So, but he can contend when he does certain things well. And your statistical modeling of each individual player would be different because they do different things well and they do different things poorly. So for them to contend, they need to overcome their weaknesses and they need to kind of somewhat amplify their strengths. Sometimes, usually, when they win. But then again, you look at Scheffler winning the Masters. He didn't play his best approach game. I mean, he's top 3 in the world in strokes gained on the approach. But he didn't have that kind of week. He putted extremely well. Did his usual great stuff off the tee. And that was good enough. And there aren't many players who can win with their B stuff like that. Usually you got to do what you do really well and do something that you do poorly better than that to have your chance. So trying to put every single golfer into the same basket with very minute statistics, I think is a mistake. Rather, I look at strokes gained in the aggregate, and that's what I believe an appropriate model is. You want to look at strokes gained over the medium term, which is a year to me, and the long term, 2 years to me, rolling basis. I look at how you play in the last 10 events on the PGA Tour, or 10 events in general. And that, I used to be doing 5 events. I like 10 events more, again, a little bit longer term focus. especially with the way the schedule works sometimes, where guys take long stretches off. This helps, I think, to a degree. And then also looking at strokes gained in the event the last 3 years. And then I want to look at how you gain strokes against the quality of your competition. If you gain a lot of strokes against stink fields, that doesn't help me think you're going to win a major. But if you gain a lot of strokes against fields in the majors, that's going to help me think you can do this. So we have something called quality strokes gain, which is a multiplier applied to the strokes that you gain in a tournament multiplied by the quality of your competition. Higher the competition, better the competition, more the value of those strokes gained are. Lower the value of the competition, lower the value of those strokes gained. All right? So here's our top 10 for the week. Scottie Scheffler is number one, as you would imagine. He's the best player in the world. 3.85 points, which is insane for this model. I mean, I've been doing this model for more than 4 years now. And it is just wild that he is at this level. He is that much better than everyone else. I mean, just so much better. Rory McIlroy is number two, 2.917 points, which unto itself, if it were just him, would be an incredible number. You'd be like, yes, bet him today to win. Xander Schauffele is number three. Then it starts to get kind of a drop down. So Xander's had a great last couple of years. Again, I know some of the limitations of my own model, right? Short-term form. That's why we do a short-term modeling. We'll talk about that in this episode. There's hot hand stuff. There's course form stuff that sometimes doesn't get picked up. There's a longer-term focus can blind you to the fact that they stink right now, right? Like Victor Hovland is 10th in the model. He stinks right now. I know he's 10th in the model, but he stinks. There's no way you could bet him at this moment. You couldn't put a price high enough for, you know, you could, but not in a reasonable way. So you got to know the limitations of what we're talking about here, and then we'll backfill a little bit. Wyndham Clark's fourth in the model. Again, plays well in big boy events against loaded fields. His three wins are the U.S. Open and two signature events. Very, very good stuff. However, he was also terrible at Wells Fargo in a title defense and didn't play well in the Masters. But he was great at the RBC Heritage, where he finished, tied for third or third place, whatever it was. So mixed bag recently for him. That's why his odds are where they are. And they probably should be longer than what they are. But that's where we are. Brooks Koepka is fifth on the list. Makes sense. He's a big game guy. Playing well on Live. You know, he makes the most of his opportunities when he plays in the PGA Tour these days. Or plays in events recognized by the PGA Tour these days. Ludwig is sixth. Bryson DeChambeau seventh. Shane Lowry's eighth. Decky's ninth. Decky's not in the best shape right now. Not in terms of like physical condition, but just his back hurts. And he's talked about it to the Japanese press. And that's hard to find that stuff sometimes when he just talks to them in Japanese. And that stuff doesn't get recorded as transcripts and stuff you can easily pull from. But he does say that stuff. So I'm shying away from him. Victor Hovland is 10th, as mentioned. Tyrrell Hatton's 11th. Tommy Fleetwood's 12th. I love Tommy Fleetwood as a player. He's never won in this country. Why would you bet him to win, make his first win a major? It could happen, but that's the same principle as betting Xander. Why? Patrick Cantlay, same thing. Has lots of great finishes. Has won, plenty of times the PGA Tour. 6, 7, 8 times, whatever it is. But not playing that great this year. And yes, he may gain a ton of strokes on his peers, but that doesn't mean he's indicative to win. John Rahm's 14th, Cam Smith 15th. Cam Smith gets a lot of gain here from his 2022, what's left of it. He will start to fall down these rankings pretty hard in the back end of this year because he will lose the Open Championship from that rolling 104 weeks, and that's going to cost him a lot. Corey Connors is 16th, Brian Harman 17th, Colin Morikawa 18th. The guy's been moving up in the ranking. Colin Morikawa, Harman, guy moving down in the ranking. I like Morikawa a lot based on that. So those are some guys to point out based on the modeling for the week. I also want to turn your attention to short-term modeling and We haven't talked about this as much recently on this show, just because Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy and Ludwig have been kind of your three guys just to look at. And you can take your pick whether you want to bet them that short or not, right? There's no need to look at short-term form. They're really good. They're clearly the best. However, I do want to look at it for a major championship purpose. So we have a tool. This is available to our members. We look at strokes gained by category in the last 10 events on the PGA Tour schedule. So this is going to subtract. This is going to take out guys like Rahm and Cam Smith and Brooks because they're not playing the PGA Tour, right? But if you're looking at players gaining in the last 10 events and averaging it out, I'm looking at a couple of different metrics here to determine guys who might be playing well. I'm looking at guys who are gaining at least 1.2 strokes per round in the aggregate on average. I'm looking at guys who are gaining at least 1.6 quality strokes gained. So that's our multiplier, right, of quality of competition per round. I'm also looking for guys who are gaining at least 0.6 strokes per round on the approach in those last 10. That to me is a sign of playing well, but just something's not going quite right. And if you correct whatever one of those things are, and we'll talk about that as we go through this list, then you have a chance to do well. The kind of the biggest room for improvement kind of thing, guys on this list. So let's start with, there are 10 players who are at that 1.2 per round or better metric, and 9 of them have that 1.6 quality strokes gain metric. So they're both one and the same. So we'll just talk about all 10 of those guys. Number one is naturally Scottie Scheffler. Number two is Wyndham Clark. Number three is Sahith Theegala. And I cannot underscore this enough. Sahith Theegala is playing great golf. Xander Schauffele, right there. He's just doing everything very well. Alex Noren, Hideki Matsuyama, Siwoo Kim, Brian Harman, and he's doing everything pretty well. Ludwig and Akshay Bhatia is the last one. A couple of guys that fall just short. Billy Horschel, although he's been beating up bad competition at times, and Aaron Rye. But Aaron Rye gets in there on the approach measure. So that's a good little transition point. So we'll resort this based on strokes gained on the approach. You have more players in that category who are gaining at least 0.6 strokes per round on average. They're losing from somewhere, and we'll talk about those guys individually. Scheffler, Lowry is losing on the putter. I mean, he is just stinky with the putter. Tom Hoagie, bad with the driver, right? Tough on a longer golf course to be bad with the driver. Akshay Bhatia fits, Matsuyama fits. JT, playing very well on the approach. Horrible with the putter. Not Shane Lowry bad, but bad. Keith Mitchell, very bad with the putter. Aaron Rye's right on the cusp. Corey Connors, always marginal with the short game and the putting. That's what his, we've known that. Will Zalatoris, he had those couple of weeks where it was like, hey, this guy's putting great with that lab putter. He stinks again. Minus 0.65 strokes per round with the putter. It's bad again. And we've been talking about this for weeks. Thought his putter was turning back to a pumpkin. It is a pumpkin again. Certifiable pumpkin. So, out. Cameron Young gained tons of strokes per round, and it's really good at major championships to gain strokes on the approach because the golf course is just so hard. Putting is, it's a different animal to major. But he stinks with the putter. Andrew Putnam stinks with the driver and with the putter, especially with the driver more than the putter. But he can't drive it very well, and he doesn't putt as well. Going to be a problem. Mark Hubbard, great approach player. Marginal driver, not so great putter. That's what gets him. So, Jake Knapp, kind of eating it right now with the driver. I mean, he hits the crap out of the ball, but he hits it so many bad places that he does poorly on the approach or on the off the tee at times, which is kind of incredible given how the quality of player that he is. That's why his odds are like 250-1 to win this. When he plays the capability that he can, like he did at the Nelson, he could win anything. But that doesn't happen often enough. Another guy I want to point out, because I talked about him in the first show, I believe, Tony Finau. doing well in the approach, doing well around the green, doing well enough off the tee, although he could stand to gain more strokes off the tee, not so good with the putter. And that's, again, with a lot of these guys, most of their problem is putting. Not usually like a Tom Hoagie situation where you're just too short and not good enough with the driver. It's typically the other way. So, again, you got to think about that as, in the majors, that's not as big of a deal, right? Because putting on these fast greens, on surfaces you don't usually know, especially like in the final three majors of the year, the kind of both those things mitigate the skill of putting to a degree. That's why Cameron Young does well in the majors. Because, yes, he may be a terrible putter, but everyone struggles putting. At a golf course, they don't know where the greens are. 13, 14, 15 at times. They're lightning. It's hard. So, it works to his advantage. Another guy I want to point out, Billy Horschel. Been playing good golf around the cusp, doing everything pretty well. He's like in that, 150, 201 range. I'm not betting him to win, but he does like Memorial. Does like Nicklaus courses. Has been playing pretty well. Maybe a guy to consider for a super mega long shot. Did want to point him out. I don't want to leave him totally in the dark there, or leave you totally in the dark on him at this point. So there's your short-term model, right? I don't think it's particularly helpful to look at the last two times the majors played here, right? Because that was 2000 and 2014. Way too much turnover in 24 years, basically 100% turnover in 24 years, and almost 100% turnover in 10 years. Just doesn't typically work out that way. So I don't see a whole lot of value in talking about that, to be honest with you. I think you could see some comparisons between Nicklaus designs, specifically Memorial and here. That would make you think about a Rahm, a Morikawa who's won there in that, when they had it at Muirfield Village in like back-to-back weeks in the pandemic. That could be one. Yeah, Horschel to a degree, Benon to a degree, but Benon's never won and just doesn't win. That's part of his problem. So there maybe you can see some parallels there. I think for some players, you kind of have to get over a little bit of the awkward architecture of this place, like the one hole where with like the island fairway, which is dumber than dumb, or the hole with the moat and like the rock wall with the really small green that's kind of dumber than dumb. If you kind of have to get past some of that. You can't go, oh, I hate this hole. It's a divisive course. So if you don't like it, you gotta find a way to work past it. And we'll see what happens with all of that. But so that's something to consider here. Strokes gained by course length, we do not typically talk about. I don't particularly care about it usually, but I have this tool available. And I try to look at players who play better on golf courses where you're looking at the strokes gained on the longer courses. So if you're looking this week at people who gain the most on longer courses, you're going to be shocked to learn it's longer hitters. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Will Zalatoris actually, Scottie Scheffler, Cameron Young, Keith Mitchell, Luke List, Corey Connors actually, Patrick Cantlay, Joaquin Niemann, Benon. They're all longer gainers off the tee. Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele's not a short hitter. Victor Hovland, Tony Finau. So that kind of makes sense. Just kind of want to throw those guys out. I don't think that's indicative of anything. It's just kind of an interesting comparison point. And then want to throw this out there too, because I don't usually talk about this enough on the show. But quality strokes gained this year, I think it's an important measure as always, but if you look at this year, I think you can kind of pare this down pretty quickly. Scotty, Wyndham, Xander, McIlroy's in there, Hideki, Ludwig, Sahith, Siwoo, Brian Harman, Billy Horschel, Alex Noren. It's a good list. It is a good list. McIlroy struggled at times. And it's actually further down the list than you think, but this, I haven't updated it yet with the Wells Fargo Championship, so he'd move up into a decent range now because of the last couple times out. Matthew Pavon, Nick Taylor, Kurt Kitayama, Maverick McNealy's in this. He's playing pretty good golf, just doesn't result in wins. So I want to throw those numbers out there as well. Just trying to give you like a full picture of the things I think about when going into a tournament and a major. And we usually try to stick to kind of what we talk about, like recent form and the model and course history. Well, we don't really have course history here that's pertinent. But if you want to talk about your last five tournaments played, six really, because we're throwing in the Myrtle Beach Classic, then we're looking at players who have multiple top 15 finishes. Well, the Masters basically just almost falls off here, but not quite. Ludwig, he's got two, right? Runner-up of the Masters and top 10 of the RBC Heritage. You got Ben Griffin's been playing okay. I mean, you're kind of struggling because this time of year between the majors, it's tricky. You got Colin Morikawa, both those, you know, the week of the Masters, third place, and then you got your RBC Heritage, right? Those are right one after another. Taylor Pendrith won the Nelson, T11 at Punta Cana, good finish at Wells Fargo, right? You've got Xander Schauffele, another good finish at the Wells Fargo, good finish at the Masters. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler, Adam Shanks playing well. Alex Smalley, I think, is an interesting guy to look at. He got in here as an alternate when Steve Stricker withdrew. Tied for 13th at the Nelson, tied for 6th at Corrales Punta Cana. Do I think he's going to win? No, of course not. But might be an interesting top 20 play as a current form goes. Other than that, we don't really have a lot to work with. Again, in the last, you know, in the intervening period between the majors, you either played well basically at the Masters and Harbortown back-to-back, or you didn't play much recently. And that's what makes the PGA in May even weirder, because I don't think there's that much of a difference between the LIV golf schedule and the sporadic nature of it and the period between here and the PGA Championship and the PGA Tour. You got the Zurich, which is what it is. I mean, it can be a confidence builder, but it's not an individual event. You got the Nelson, which is an iffy field. You do have a great one at Harbortown. You have a very good one at the Wells Fargo, but you've also got multiple opposite field events, so they don't quite tell you very much. It's really hard to kind of get a read on that. Most of these guys have played once or twice since Heritage. To me, that makes it a hard read versus LIV, which is always a hard read. But I think if you boil LIV down to a 10-guy league, how are those 10 guys doing? Then you would say Koepka's your best play because he won recently and looked dialed doing it. And he's won this thing three times. Rahm has been consistently solid, but hasn't won. And I think people are very surprised. I'm surprised he hasn't won one of these yet. Halfway through the season, he hasn't won one, any of them. That's pretty stunning to me. I mean, Dean Burmester's got to win. John Rahm doesn't. That's weird, right? And he's 16-1. How do you bet that? Versus Koepka just won the last ones, won this thing three times in 6 years or whatever. So they're not the same value, right? They're not the same value. Other than that, you know, you've got some guys that are like Tim Veeding, who's coming from the Korn Ferry Tour, has won two in a row, but what does that mean? In those two wins, he's like 57 under par or something like that. It's a different setup, different game playing Valhalla for a PGA Championship than, no offense, the Texas Rangers Golf Club, but a 7,100-yard par 71 golf course you can just light up. And it's set up to be lit up. So you got to think about that a little bit. But all things told, I think the model is helpful. I think it gives you a good idea of where you're going to be and trying to think about the tournament. And then we'll do one more show tomorrow. We'll talk about props. We'll talk about derivative markets. We'll talk about head-to-head matchups. And then we'll touch a little bit on the LPGA, the Mizuho America's Open, which they have this week, and probably 5 seconds on the Korn Ferry Tour event this week, which is the Advent Health Championship in Kansas City. So join us for our next show. Thanks so much for listening. Again, if you want to join Golf News Net, Join for $40 a year at golfnewsnet.com. Get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Ryan Ballingy. Happy to answer your questions about really anything. You know, talk about betting, golf, life, whatever. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for your support. Talk to you next time on The Press.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.